Updated in real time and available on demand at versnet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile, the APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit versnet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Well, Majestic Perfection is the nation's leading second crop sire. He is the sire in his first crop, now 3-year-olds, of 8 stakes horses, headed by the brilliant Lovely Maria, winner of the classic Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks, winner of Keeneland's Grade 1 Ashland Stakes. Lovely Maria overcame a rough trip to win the Oaks, drawing away by nearly 3 lengths to defeat a highly competitive field of 14 well-bred fillies. Congratulations to her breeders, Olin Gentry and Thomas Gaines, and to trainer Larry Jones. Lovely Maria is the headliner, but there's so much more to Majestic Perfection's first crop record. He is the only second crop sire with 3 2015 stakes winners, and he came within a head of siring his fourth when Moons Over Me ran second in the Ultra Fleet Stakes at Santa Anita. And that same day, Perfect and Majestic was third in a 3-horse photo in the Desert Coat Stakes, also at Santa Anita. That was on Kentucky Oaks Day. Majestic Perfection, sire of a classic winner, 3 2015 stakes winners, 8 stakes horses in his first crop, the nation's leading second crop sire, stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. Always keep in mind that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis from the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursula Ellis.
Good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful morning here at the Thoroughbred Center on the Paris Lexington Road here in Fayette County. And what are we doing today? Well, Barry Robinette is coming in at the top of the hour. About 11 o'clock, he manages a Clear Sky Farms, and of course, that's the home of Firing Line, who son of the Line of David, who ran a heck of a race in the Derby. Michael Blowen is here with me, so Jackie, and of course, Ressie is here, and Matt Howard, and the usual suspects, Susie the Clocker. Dr. Brian Walridge, I assume, is on his way here pretty soon. Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet will call in, give us the winner of the feature, which is the Unbridled Sydney Stakes down at Churchill Downs. Today we've got Jackie's announcements. Going to do a little something on, they're running the Bogey Stakes, who filly that race, I think she was a foal in 1943, she raced for Main Chance Farm. And we're going to do a little bit something on her during the second hour if we have time. Got something I want to read. Picked up the Thoroughbred Daily News today, and there was a nice little article in there by our dear friend, Francis Relihan.
Yeah.
And there's been some confusion as to where that horse was foaled, raised, and et cetera, and she gave us an explanation of American Pharoah's background. And so I'm going to read that. Just take a second. This is Francis in today's Thoroughbred Daily News. Great racehorses, as we all know, can pass through a lot of hands along the way on their path to stardom. Having read many articles in recent weeks regarding the raising of Kentucky Derby winner American Pharoah, I would like to complete the story regarding his early days at Vinery. Zayette Stables' American Pharoah was shipped from birthplace at Tom Van Meter's Stock Place Farm to Vinery, where I was the farm manager, when he was approximately 3 months old and still by the side of his dam, Little Princess Emma. He remained on the mare through weaning and into his yearling year at Vinery, where it was a very enjoyable experience to see him grow and mature. When the Vinery principals announced in early 2013 that the farm would be offered for sale, sadly, we were faced with having to relocate all client horses along with the Vinery stallions as the operation phased down. These horses, including the colt, who would later become known as American Pharoah, his dam, and his very promising young sire, Pioneer the Nile. As a result, in January of his yearling year, the future champion departed Vinery to commence the next phase of his development at Taylor Made Farm. So there we have it.
Good.
He was at Vinery from weaning until he became his yearling year.
He was a suckling when they got him.
And he was a suckling when they got him. So There. All right. Now that I've done that, I feel much better about it.
Fabulous job.
Yeah. Fabulous job. Francis, thank you for clarifying that. Feature races today at Belmont. They're running the Man of War. Of course, Man of War never ran on the grass, but this is a grass. That's their material.
Evidently, it is.
It would have been to him, too.
They name, you know, sprint races after rooters and...
Yeah.
Rooters after...
Routers.
How about a router?
Router.
Huh? How about a router?
Oh, yeah, sorry. How about for sales?
What route are you taking? Oh, I'm taking the route.
You're like a motor router.
That's like theater or theater. When I was a kid, it was theater.
Yeah, not. Tomato, tomato.
Okay.
Ursel and Ursel.
That's funny. Mispronounced both ways.
Ursel. How about that?
Urkel.
The grade one vanity is at Santa Anita today. They're running the Ruffian, grade two. Up at Saratoga, they're running a Peter Pan.
They're not running it at Saratoga.
I mean at Belmont. At Belmont, if you'd just stop distracting me with all this rooter crap, we'd go on. They're running the Bogey, which I'm going to talk a little bit about Bogey. She was a very unusual filly. And a couple of stakes at Woodbine, well, the Henry Stakes, it's one. And then the American Stakes, grade three, also out at Santa. And a good day of racing. As a matter of fact, winners from the Thoroughbred Center. We've got 14 so far this month, and they were trained by Paul McAtee, Stanley Inman, Eduardo Caramoy, Jim Rankin, Steve Casey, another one by Eduardo, Tom Bergen, another one by Eduardo, Chuck Peary, Mike Estes, Juan Rubacaba, another one by Eduardo. He's having a pretty good month, isn't he? Dane Kubinski. And Matt Frazier had a quarter horse win up at Indiana Downs.
Of course he did.
And, okay, I've got one other thing, and I really need some help on this one, folks, you folks out there. So I'm down on my knees begging. My daughter passed away earlier this week, and her legacy to me was two cats, which we had to import from Arizona, which was her home. And I'm looking for a home for two house cats. They're very nice. They have to come as a pair because they've kind of been around each other for the last few years. And they come equipped with a bag of feed, kitty litter, a pooper scooper, and my blessings.
There you go.
I tell you,
that was the Maraschino cherry and not at all. Russell's blessings.
Yes.
They leave.
Yeah. My problem is we live on a farm, and I've got barn cats, very unfriendly types. And they're going to be to any cat that comes around.
Well, that's right.
They run strangers away now. And these are house cats, and I've got a house dog. I mean, we let him in and out, but he doesn't like cats too much, and he's into chasing them. So I don't know what we're going to do. We've got to keep them segregated here for the next few days or something, but we'll work on it. But if anybody could help us out and give these two. They really are nice cats, and they've got all their shots. They've got everything's taken care of. They've neutered, and there would be no problem if you like cats to take care of. But they are indoor cats. Never been outdoors in their lives, as far as I know. So let me give you my cell number: 948-9094. You can look it up in the farm manager's manual. And so if anybody who could take these two cats, it would be greatly, deeply appreciated. I will be in your debt forever and ever and ever. So
we'll put up a sign in the office at Old Friends, too.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They really are nice cats. And the one cat is a tabby.
I wish we didn't already have 13. We'd take one.
I know. You don't want to go away.
Well, they're outdoor cats, though, aren't they? Yeah, yours are outdoor.
No, we have outdoor, indoor, barn, office, you name it.
Yeah.
The office cats never left. Look how fast that
is. Yeah.
Never been outside.
The office cats never left.
Well, one of them comes in and out, but the other one can't move it so fat.
Yeah.
Matt's right about that.
Yeah.
Well, the one cat, the tabby-looking one, has the tallest, longest legs I've ever seen on a cat. It's amazing. I mean, it's very tall, but thin.
Middle on the leggy side.
But leggy. I mean.
Must be a rooter.
Yeah, rooter. You never heard such crap in your life. Well, Algorithms is by the top Cy Bernardini, and he is one of three graded stakes winners produced by Ava Knows the Code, a hard-hitting graded stakes runner herself. It's a family of tough, hard-hitting stakes winners. Algorithm has won all three of his career starts, broke his maiden first time out by 5 1/4 lengths at Belmont Park, serving notice that he was something special, won his second start as a 2-year-old also in an impressive fashion. That was a Gulfstream. His first start at 3 was in the Grade 2 $500,000 Holy Bull Stakes down at Gulfstream, and he handed Hanson, who'd been the champion 2-year-old the previous year, his first defeat. He won by 5 eye-opening lengths. Now, at this time, Algorithms were considered a major threat for the upcoming Classics, but a training accident ended his career. His obvious class, his pedigree, and his confirmation commanded an opportunity at stud, and the quality of his first foals, yearlings this year, justify the decision. Algorithm stands for $5,000 doing a full stanza nurse. He stands at Claiborne Farm. Give Bernie Sams a call, 859-233-4252, and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
It's a comforting feeling to do business with people you trust, especially when it comes to insurance. When we moved to Bourbon County, friends recommended the Hopewell Company, and that was 27 years ago, and they've had our insurance needs ever since. Hopewell Company has extensive experience working with horse farms and racing stables, and you're dealing with Joe and Ted McLean. And Ted, of course, was a trainer at one time, working with the secretariat stable.
So well, he trained on his own after that, too.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
So he knows what he's doing. They cover our house, barn, vehicles, horse trailer, plus liability, and they're right there whenever we needed them. As I have said so many times, when we got struck by lightning, they hotwired us, and we were getting it fixed the next day. So it's an independent insurance agency. They work for us, not the insurance companies. Thus, they're able to offer the best coverage and most competitive prices from financially sound, reputable insurance. Contact the Hopewell Company. They will provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company, 820 South Main in Paris, 987-2347. Or they have a Lexington number, it's 254-2431. You'll get great service, we guarantee it.
There's two more businesses down in Bourbon County in Paris, Kentucky, that you should be aware of, and to your benefit. One is the Clay Ward Agency, and the other one is Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, which was founded back in 1931, it was 20 grand here by Mr. James Clay Ward, and they've been providing the finest in equine insurance for over 80 years now, going on 84, as a matter of fact. And they were successful during the Depression years, and because their success was based on hard work, dedication to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business, and those qualities are still carried on today. So whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbreds, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are in a position to supply the best coverage at the best price available, and they give great service. That's Shaq Parrish, that's Bruce Isaacs, and John Hess. And here's the phone number down there. It's a Parrish number, 987-1861, 987-1861. Or you can go by the office over in Paris at 1102 on Main Street. Also, ask about the services available at Indian Creek Farm. That's where a whole bunch of major stakes winners both here and abroad first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has bored and raised and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, been doing it for years. And like I say, they're closely associated with the Clay Ward Agency. It's a great, great place to board your mares. It's a great place to have them sell for you. And let me tell you how to get in touch with the Indian Creek Farm. You can call 987-7443 or see the website at IndianCreekKY.com and talk to Shaq Parrish or Nikki Dryan. And once again, it's Indian Creek KY.com for Indian Creek Farm. If I must. Now,
they're making noise.
My hearing aids are making a noise and upsetting my wife. So here, now you got to keep that side up to keep the battery from falling out. And you got to keep Whips the wrong way.
Stay tuned for further developments.
That side up. Got to take care of my hearing aids. I got one of the many things that doesn't work anymore is my ears.
They take it piece by piece, don't they?
Yeah, slowly but
just
surely.
Just peel it away. Here, take another. Yep, that's it.
All right. Well, Dr. Walridge had just walked in, too. Well, let me ask you guys, Brian, since you got the phone in front of you, I mean, whatever the damn thing is.
Microphone.
Microphone, yeah. What did you think of the Derby?
Well, Dortmund would have been about 3 lengths faster. I'd have had the exacta.
Would you?
It was a good Derby, though.
Yeah, it was, really. Yeah, kind of formful Derby. You know, there weren't any surprises.
No.
I think the only horse had any trouble maybe was materiality. He got, and I don't know, we reckon that was greenness, or partly being green that caused some of his troubles, or it was just bad luck.
Broke down from the inside, right? Didn't he break from the inside?
I can't forget what his post position was. I got the chart here. Okay, right here it is right here. Take a look at his... You know how to read a chart, don't you, Michael?
Yeah, he broke from the three hole.
Three hole. Yeah.
You don't want to be in the inside. You're always going to 1, 2, 3. Boom.
Unless you fall out running.
Yeah. Even then, you use up so much. I mean, the last horse that ever that won the Derby out of the inside was Ferdinand.
Okay.
1986.
Before my time.
Yeah, sure. I was talking about Bo Gay. Came out of the Civil War handicap.
You know, she fell through the fence in the Futurity that year. Bo Gay did.
Yep.
Went down, hit the inside rail. Going down the straightaway up in at Belmont. Remember it well.
Tough.
Yeah.
Tough. We had a horse at the farm, Ruhlman, who went through the fence at Golden Gate. Went through two or three fences, actually.
Boy, he wasn't far from the ocean. I mean, he could have had a swim.
He almost got in the pond. He might have gotten in the pond. I'm not sure. But he came back later, and like 6 weeks later, won a grade one. Okay. Tough as nails. We call him Ursel for short.
Handsome horse, though.
Very handsome. Yeah. A lot of hair, and he could hear.
Yeah, okay. Oh, for God's sakes. Well, what did you think of the Derby?
I thought it was great.
Did you?
Yeah, well, friends karma, because, you know, Bob Baffert came to the farm on the Tuesday before the Derby, and we had a great time and visited with Silver Charm and Game On Dude. And so we're really happy. Yeah. In fact, the Royal Friends connections with the top three horse, because Gary Stevens finished second on Firing Line. He came to the farm to see Silver Charm. So we're hoping to start a tradition here where some superstitious trainers and jockeys decide they're going to come to Old Friends the week of the Derby. Because, you know, when you
whatever
think about
take,
it, with the first three, we're all...
Tell them to open the checkbooks and come see you.
Come see us, yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Come see us.
Yeah.
Well, that was good.
I'm a sore loser. I just wish Baffert hadn't used Dortmund as a rabbit.
I don't think Mary Farrell needed a rabbit. I don't think he needed him as a rabbit.
Yeah. I tell you what, I hate to say it, but I bet you there's another winner for the Preakness. I bet you there
could be.
Yeah. That horse that we were talking about, I don't know if he's coming back in it, though. Materiality. Yeah, he's going to be tough. And the horse that ran second, Firing Line, he ran one tremendous race. You know, it was a super race.
Well, I'm rooting for American Pharoah. It would just be great if he wins the Preakness and we go to the Belmont looking for a Triple Crown.
Yeah.
Be good for racing, good for the horse, good for everybody.
Yeah.
Except the horses that lose, of course. Not that good for them.
But it's going to be a good race, I would think, like the Derby.
I got invited. I'm going.
Oh, are you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
La-di-da, huh?
Yeah. But, Brian, we have a little time to say something next week.
Yeah. I'll be available by phone.
By phone,
we'll
call you. We'll call you and get
an update. I'm going to help do the tours the morning of the Preakness on the backside.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm excited.
Who are you helping?
A woman named Fran Burns, who owns a farm there called Boxwood Farm.
Uh-huh.
And she's very active in retraining thoroughbreds off the track and raising money for aftercare down there in Maryland. And so.
Okay. Is she going to take some that maybe that you have or to, you don't know?
No, because the ones we have is Dr. Walter Jewell tests are not eligible for second careers. They used a lot of energy and a lot of muscle and a lot of bone when in their first careers.
Yeah. Okay. Not only that, most of them are studs. Huh?
Yes, some of them are.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're doing good. You can ask Brian. I mean, we keep our fingers crossed. But boy, oh boy, they all look really pretty good.
Good.
And shiny coats. A little fat. Sassy.
Well,
and we got a lot of tours, and then we had our big fundraiser, you know, last week. That was really fun on Sunday. It was mobbed. I think we had close to 300 people, and I think we raised about $20,000. And the expenses were really low. I mean, we got a lot of the stuff donated, so that the only thing we had to really pay for was Steve Norman came and played.
Yeah,
he did a great job. His band, Shades of Grass, are fabulous. And then Tommy Walters from Furlong did the catering. And Steve played for free. We got to cut a really good deal on that fabulous food from Tommy Walters. And the only big expense you always get with these things is a tent. And what we do is we collect the coupons that are on the Southern States feed. You get a quarter for every coupon you cut out of the feed bag. And we save those up. And then some farms and some racetracks send us some of theirs. And by the end of the year, we have enough money saved up from the coupons to pay for the tent. So we don't really have to pay for the tent either.
Boy, you didn't miss a trick.
So it's pretty good.
Huh?
And then we got great.
Probably takes a hero leader just so they can cut out coupons.
Listen, so we had a halter auction, right? And I'm really grateful to all the people that donated halters, because that was really, really a lot of fun, and there's a lot of spirited bidding. But and two horses tied.
All right,
who was the most expensive halter?
Well,
you can take a guess if you want.
Man of War.
Man of War. I wish. Man of War wouldn't be tied with anybody. No, Game On Dude went for $1,000.
Okay,
and the other horse tied him. It was a dead heat.
Silver Charm.
Little Silver Charm.
Little Silver Charm.
Yep.
Oh, holy.
It's full halter.
I don't believe that.
It's true.
Holy.
$1,000.
I was going to say Baffert probably bought them both, but I know he's not that big a sucker.
$1,000. Yeah. Little Silver Charm.
Yeah, I guess you were the underbidder.
No, there's a woman named Sherry Bolts who really adores him and pays for everything.
It's a little bitty halter.
Little bitty halter. He has a full halter with his name on it.
Yeah, it's right.
Mm-hmm.
Probably never wore it in his life.
Oh, no, he wore it. He wore it. He had a lot of wear and tear. Now we're going to go and get him about 10 more new ones. Put them on him a day at a time.
I don't know if you're going to find nine more people that are going to pay $1,000 for his halter.
Right? No, but I think that was funny.
Yeah. Well... Yeah,
but we've been getting tons of visitors. Oh, Mr. McCathen, the guy, you know, the Cathen brothers,
mm-hmm.
Kevin, and he came to see Silver Charm, and he's the one that arranged the sale of Silver Charm to Robert Lewis way back when.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's something to brag about,
I should say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, good. I'm glad everything went well.
Yeah, it went really, really well. We had a lot of people. It was beautiful weather.
Yeah, pretty weather.
Good beer. Good. That's why I'm surprised you missed it. I just thought,
well, yeah, under the circumstances.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But I have to admit this. I skimmed a couple of six packs. So next time you come over, we'll share them.
It figures, doesn't it? You know,
I put all the Bud Light on top, and I put the other stuff on the bottom, and somehow there was some beer left. Somehow there was some beer left over. You don't want this to go bad.
Yeah, behind that hay over there. Huh? Yeah. Well, it figures. Well, all right. Well, as soon as the dust settles, we'll come over.
Okay, good. Good. We'll sit around and
get things done, and it won't be long. Well, let me take a break here. May 4 at the Curragh, the Tetrock Stakes was won by Tom Belaine. That's a 3-year-old colt by First Defense. Just 8 days earlier, Irish Jasper, a 3-year-old filly by First Defense, won the Bill Harbor Stakes at Aqueduct. And that same day, Dun Dunnell by First Defense won the Group 2 Sprint Cup Stakes in Hong Kong. Tom Belaine placed in two group stakes last year as a 2-year-old, and he and Irish Jasper are among the 5 black type runners from that crop. Dun Dunnell, a group stakes winner in England, is the second millionaire sired by First Defense, following Eclipse Award winner Close Hatches, earner of more than $2,707,000. Bred and owned by Judmine Farm, Tom Lane is out of Kythera, a stakes winner both here and abroad and group placed. Kythera has a yearling full brother to Tom Lane at Judmont Farm. She is typical of the quality of mares covered by First Defense with the emergence of such top-class runners as Close Hatches and Dundonnell. The continued success of First Defense at stud is virtually assured. He stands for $10,000 live foal at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry at 859-272-7629, and see the website at judmont.com. Sally Van Service, been in business for, well, as long as I can remember. Well, not quite as long as I can remember, but a long time. Some 60-some-odd years, I guess. And I tell you what, during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack been entrusted to their care. And the folks over at Sally, they are first class. They've learned a lot along the way. They've put it to use. And of course, it's obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. They really are. They build most of them themselves, service them themselves. Now, incidentally, they can service your diesels or your trailers and everything, get theirs and yours in tip-top condition. But the most important factor over at Sally Van Service is the ability and experience the person behind the wheel. And they're extremely proud of their drivers over at Sal Lee Van Service with good reason. They're experienced drivers, they're experienced horsemen, and believe me, that's a winning combination. So next time you ship a horse, I don't care if it's across the country or across the county, when you load that horse into a Sal Lee van, you can just depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. Over at Sally Van's Service, they wouldn't have it any other way. Let me tell you how to get in touch with them. Here's a phone number, 255-9640. The website is sallyhorsevans.com. And once again, for more than half a century, Sally Horse Vans have been the safest way to the winner's circle. Well, Pioneer of the Nile, Sire of American Pharoah, winner of the Eclipse Award as champion two-year-old colt in 2014, and, of course, winner of the 141st running of the Kentucky Derby. Pioneer of the Nile stands at Windstar Farm. What a way to launch a stud career. And we could stop right there, but there's a whole lot more. He sired 16 stakes horses in his first two crops. One of his 16 horses, of his 16 horses, I should say, stakes horses, 11 have won a place in graded stakes, and besides siring the winner of the Kentucky Derby, he sired a colt that placed in the Preakness. Carol Prince has won graded stakes. JoJo Warrior has won graded stakes. Midnight Storm has won graded stakes. Viceremos has won graded stakes. Social Incusion, River Dancer, Catch My Drift, Cash Control, Margaret Ray, and Pioneer of the West have all placed in graded stakes. Pioneer of the Nile, with but two crops to compete a full season, has joined the ranks of elite sires. Once again, he's at Windstar Farm. So for more on the Windstar Stallions, get in touch with Darren Fox or Sean Tugel or Kyle Wilson. Number over there is 859-873-1717. And take a look at the website at windstarfarm.com. All right, I've got Dr. Brian Walrus here with me this morning, and he's been kind of a regular out here. So I'm out here yesterday morning with your bride.
Yes.
Watching their horse breathe. She's getting me close to run?
She's got a little lung thing going on right now.
Oh,
I found yesterday, so I think we're going to move back a little bit.
Oh, well, par for the course.
Just a little mucus, that's all she had, but enough, I think it knocked her back yesterday.
That'll do it. Yeah, did you check her? You scope her?
I didn't have my scope, so I just made my guess.
Hey, he's the owner and the vet.
Owner,
he can do whatever he wants.
Owner and the vet. Yeah, my goodness. Now, if you just married an exercise rider, you'd really have a cheap or a trainer.
The owner was too cheap to pay for the scope, so I...
your wife excluded.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. So just don't do those fancy diagnostics. Just treat her.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It'll cost us a couple weeks, but I think that'll be it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the last one that we had out here got a lung infection.
Yeah.
And it made her windy. So we had to find a home for her.
Yeah. Lisa Malloy. Always look on the bright side.
Yeah, Miss Lisa Malloy. Well, I tell you, we found a good home for her. Lisa Malloy found her. I said we. Lisa did. Lisa's the best at that. We're real proud of that filly. She's really big time show horse there up in Michigan.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah, really. We get all kinds of pictures of her and everything. I bought her from Arthur Hancock. Anyway.
Oh, that was another thing we had. That Arthur Hancock, Arthur and Arthur over in Paris that night, that celebration they had was so great. You couldn't get near the place, and they put on a concert at the
auction
center.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry to miss that. I missed everything.
That was really, really, really great event.
Yeah. Yeah, I've went to the first one. You have you heard them, Brian?
No, I've heard they're really nice.
Oh, I'd like to we're trying them. To impose on them again sometimes.
Oh, well, yeah. Why don't you get them to come over to the farm?
And this is what I'm going to try and do.
Yeah, yeah.
Arthur, if you're listening, get tuned up.
Yeah, there you go. They're nice
But
people.
They're really talented, and you tell Arthur, they tell great stories. They have a great rapport. And the people that play with them are unbelievable. They've got a guitar player who's unbelievable.
Okay, well, now they didn't have the guitar player when I saw him the first time.
Well,
yeah. You know, the best thing about it, one of the best things is the obvious affection that they have for each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, father-son kind of thing. And it really flows back and forth between them, and it's kind of touching, you know.
Yeah, they do have a great rapport, and the music was great. The people were great, and everybody brings a dish. It's potluck, and you can bring your own beer, so you can stop off at Rooster Brew.
Oh yeah, you haven't commented on my hat.
I did. I said I liked your hat.
Well, you didn't say what it was.
It's a Rooster Brewing Paris, Kentucky hat, and it's got a rooster on it.
There you go.
Is everybody excited now?
Ralph should be. I'm out here promoting his business farm.
I like the color too.
Yeah, nice.
I like Brian's hat too. It says "Full Bucket." Be good and do good.
Yeah, and of course yours is a game on, dude.
Game on, dude. Game on, dude.
I'm
what kinda, a horse.
I'm, you know, as old as I am, I'm kind of ashamed to put that, put a game on, dude. Half people don't know what to say. Look at that old SOB. Game on, dude.
You're right. Yeah. No, I think Rooster Brewing is about your, that's about your level there.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Probably, yeah. Kentucky Fried Chicken would be more like it.
That's what it says on the back.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm going to go. We got a bus coming in today at 11 o'clock.
Where's that one coming from, do you know?
I think Ohio.
Oh, okay.
We had a lot of buses last week. It was really funny. We were kind of watching them turn around in the driveway and stuff. God, those guys can really drive those things.
Yeah. So well, they were here for the Derby, I assume, went up there and
one day
there were several buses come through here.
We had 9 buses in one day.
9 buses?
Mm-hmm. Well, 9 luxury motor coaches, sorry. Some of them get offended.
More, isn't that impressive?
He's
going to put a jet field out there where they can land jets there.
There's an idea. Porch on the top of the barn.
Yeah, right. Well, I did refer to one of these luxury motor coaches as a bus one time, and the driver was sincerely offended.
Yeah, did he smack you around a little bit?
Well, you know, it made him think he was Ralph Cramden, and I think he really objected to that.
The young folks were all wondering who Ralph Cramden was.
There's nobody under 150 that listens to this program. They're going, I really hope he talks about Bo Gay today. Remember that race? That was bad.
Well, I remember.
Well, I know that. That's what I'm saying.
It was just 1945.
You play to your strengths.
If I don't have any strengths.
You don't have any strength. You know, they all have hearing aids.
Yeah, right. I need a thinking aid anymore. Forget me not. I get those things that they advertise on TV all the time, you know, for your memory. You know, and it says it'll improve your memory, but I forget to take them. You know, so far they haven't worked.
No.
Oh, well.
Well, I'm going to go help with this bus. Our, my friend Mercer is going to come out and do the major part of it. Little Silver Charm and I have put in a special little appearance. And I'll tell you, that's Silver Charm. If you haven't come out to see him, do yourself a favor. He is amazing. He loves the visitors.
Now, which one are you talking about?
I'm talking about when I refer to Silver Charm, that's Silver Charm, the Derby winner. And Little Silver Charm's the one who makes all the money. He's Little Silver Charm.
He looks great, too. Silver Charm's filled out and is really nice.
He's got his routine down. He goes in and he's just really, really sharp.
Yeah. Now, he won the Preakness, too, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah,
and almost won the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
Lost by about a three quarters of a length.
Yeah. He and Real Quiet almost, you know. Mm-hmm. Real Quiet lost by a nose.
And then he went to Dubai and won the, you know, Dubai World Cup.
Yeah.
Wow. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Well, what can I say?
Yeah. And he's very friendly. He knows who he is. He plays the part. And he loves the visitors. He loves the attention. There's some wonderful pictures from the party of people visiting with him and and all that. Really, really nice. And he's especially for a stallion, he's got the most amazing disposition. Mm-hmm. You can walk him around and play with him. I play hide and seek with him sometimes in the paddock. I get behind the running shed and he comes looking for me. You know, when you get a little older, you have to find different ways to entertain yourself.
Well, I'm not going to comment on that.
Well, so thanks a lot, buddy, and we'll talk to you next week.
Well, I'm glad everything went good for you,
my friend. Yeah, it went really well. Really pleased. I want to thank everybody that helped us and everybody that attended. I really, really do. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. All right, Doc, let me take a break here, and we'll get you on, see what you got on your mind. Well, it's starting to get a little long in the breeding season, but if you have a late foaling mare that you'd like to breed to a really first-class runner, consider this, Alberta's Maximus. Stand free to approve mares. And when we say first-class racehorse, we mean just that. Albertus Maximus won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. He went the distance and won 33-2 that day. He won the Grade 1 Don Handicap, 9 furlongs at Gulfstream Park over the likes of Einstein and Arson Squad. He set a new track record for a mile in the Windy Sands Handicap at Del Mar. He won 2 top allowance races at Hollywood Park, another at Santa Anita. Broke his maiden at Santa Anita, placed in the Grade 1 Goodwood, the Grade 2 Breeders' Swaps Breeders' Cup Stakes, and the Grade 3 Affirm, and he earned over $1,328,000. Now, that's a first-class runner. Now consider that his first crop yearling sold for up to $90,000 last year, that he's one of 6 Grade 1 winners by his sire from a great female family, and you have the complete package. So call stallion manager, if I can spit it out here, Kent Barnes at Shadwell Farm, 859-224-4585. Go take a look at Albertus Maximus and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Quill and Leather and Tack. And what the hell's the name of this place?
Rooster Brewery.
Rooster Brewery. I take it you're Barry.
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. And my guest is here already. I like a guest that shows up early and I don't have to sweat it. Barry Robinette's here. We're going to talk to him. We're going to talk to him about a pretty good horse that you all raised, Barry. We'll be right with you. Quill and Tack, Leather and Tack down in Paris, Kentucky. That's the nation's largest custom halter shop. They ship out over 20,000 halters a year. I think they about give away that many to old friends. I don't know. Doc over here might know. And anyway, it's a great tack shop. Let me tell you how to find it. You're going in from the Lexington area, you just drive straight into Paris, go to the third stoplight, and look on your left, and there you are. It's Quillen Leather and Tack. They've got just about the great leather department there, the repair service. I take everything over there. I'm too cheap to buy new ones, so I take my old ones over, and they fix them. It's about a third the price. I got 2 old geldings over there that undress each other almost daily, I think. I could kill them both. They're both getting a little long in the tooth. One's 20 and the other one's 17, but that's the youngest ones I've got right now. The other ones are a little more mature like me. But it's a great, a great gift shop there, too. Pet collars and pet leashes and so forth. And stallion shanks, you name it, they've got it. If it pertains to leather, they've got it. The Quill and Leather and Tack, and it's first class. No two ways about it. Now, right down the road on Main Street is Rooster Brewery, and that, of course, is Ralph Quillen's establishment. They sell over 100 different kinds of beer. in there. If you drink one of those while you're there and go through 100, you ain't going to walk out. I'll tell you that. That it's, you can go in there, and it's a fun place to go. You go in and see everybody you know, and it's a good atmosphere, and they usually have something in there good to eat. And so that's two fine establishments down in Bourbon County, both affiliated with Ralph Quillen, who is big time down there now. All right, well, Stay Thirsty earned over $1,936,000. He's the leading money winner by Bernardini. Competed at the grade one level at 2, 3, and 4 every year he raced. Along the way, met and defeated many of the top runners of his day. Runners like Animal Kingdom, Mucho Macho Man, Fort Larned, Groupie Doll, Shackleford, Alternation. He won the coveted grade one Travers. He won the grade one Cigar Mile. He won the grade two Jim Dandy. He won the grade three Gotham. Ran second in the grade one Belmont Stakes. Twice placed in the grade one Jockey Club Gold Cup. Ran second in the Hopeful. And he was a flat runner. By the top side, Bernardini, out of a multiple graded staker producer from a top female family. Stay Thirsty. He stands for $10,000. Due in the foal stands and nurses, he stands at Ashford Stud. First crop weanlings averaged $91,833 last year. That's over 10 times the stud fee by my old Russell Cave School math. In recent stakes on Oaks Day at Churchill, Protonico by Giants Causeway won the grade two $400,000 Alisheba. The next day at Santa Anita, Catch a Flight by Giants Causeway won the $100,000 Precision Stakes. Six of Giants Causeway's 7 2014 stakes winners have won graded stakes. For more on the stands at Ashford Stud, call the farm at 859-873-7088 and see the website at coolmore.com. All right. Well, Doc, I'm going to get talk to you for, Barry, if you don't mind waiting a few minutes.
Certainly not.
You can sit there and sitting there and listen to see what Doc's got to say over there. He's been conned into doing all this free vet work over to the at old friends now. So I think that's the only free. Although he does his own vet work, I guess that's free. I don't know. How you doing, Doc?
Oh, doing all right.
All right. Well, what's on your mind today?
Well, I thought we'd talk about immunostimulants. When you want to use them, we decided to use that in my mirror today. So I thought, well, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
Because you know, I've used it in her because she had that mucus and one of the common
reasons.
Okay,
so it's a filly you've gotten training at here. All right.
And it's one of the reasons they can get that mucus is something called inflammatory airway disease. It's where they overproduce mucus and that can cause some occlusion of their airways and they'll constrict some in there so they're not moving air quite as well. And you give them immunostimulants. Part of the idea there is maybe they have a virus that's hanging on to help them clear that out. Mm-hmm. Also, it's kind of like people where you inhale some allergens that bother your lungs too. So you're just kind of helping to straighten out their immune system, help it deal with those allergens or some virus that's hanging around. So I gave her some of that, and I'll also give them some interferon, which helps to stimulate their immune system too. And
she throws these big names at you, like I know what interferon.
Well, it's like a hormone that helps your kind of turns on your immune system.
I could use a few hormones.
Yeah. And so I've had pretty good luck with that too. And so we're going to treat her with that. Other things you use Xtim, which is the one I gave her. Another one I really like is called Zylexis, and it's off the market right now. They have a few manufacturing problems, I guess, so they pulled off the market. But it worked really well, too. And it was made from a virus, and the Xtim they gave her today is from a bacteria. But the thing is, you're kind of giving them something for the immune system to go ahead and grab a hold of that. Then that stimulates the whole immune system to gear up and try and get a good immune response, clear whatever's going on.
Now, you're treating it with all this?
Just those two things. Okay. That's what I'll do.
How long do you treat it?
Do it the Xtim you do about every 3 to 4 days for 3 times and do it weekly. And then the interferon, it's an oral drug. You do it for about 5 days, but it's a big bottle, so we'll probably keep going on that.
Yeah.
But I've had good luck with that to help clear mucus. If a horse isn't infected, you know, it's different if a horse is infected. Mm-hmm. But if they just have mucus and there's no infection, that'll help them to get kind of get over their allergy and clear all that stuff out.
How do you know there's no infection?
Well, the best way to do it, which I was also too cheap to do, would be to do...
And you talk about a vet talking about his own damn horse, and he's too cheap to do it. You don't have to pay anybody for crying out loud.
Oh, well, you know, the little lab charges me when I turn stuff in.
Oh, so. My goodness gracious.
You're supposed to charge.
Oh, yeah.
But
you can write it off to somebody.
Oh, so yeah. But
your wife, I mean.
She won't pay me. You do a culture of it, which you can do through your scope, or you can do where you do what's called that transtracheal wash, where you use the needle and poke a needle in there and pass a little tiny catheter in there and put some saline and pull that back and see if that'll grow a bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also look at it on the microscope and see bacteria usually.
Yeah.
But with her, since she hadn't had a fever, and she's
no
been
fever
eating,
with it.
No fever. She's been eating good and all
well,
that.
She's just been snotting a little.
Well, just yesterday, Jamie Bruin rides her, and he said she coughed a little bit in the stretch, and then we got her back and cooled her out. She was coughing and had some mucus. It's the first time she'd done it, of course. Yeah. So
Jamie's an old hand. He would know.
He sure is, and he picked up on it, and I think he sure did help us know something was going on. And
I used to ride him back when I was training.
Yeah, no, I'm really glad he rides her. He takes good care of her.
Yeah, he's carrying a little weight now.
Well, I want the jockey to feel like nothing whenever she goes to the track. So
I remember when he was lean and fit and winning races.
Yeah, I went and watched a lot of his races.
2,500 races.
I went back and watched a lot of his races on YouTube. It's really
his
cool,
races.
Of his races.
Yeah,
it's cool to watch.
I can show you a few too.
It's really neat to watch him.
Yeah, he could get down on a horse. You know, I mean, down on his belly.
And he does
and
on her. I noticed on her.
That's
he just
a lot of belly
out.
To get down on now.
And the horse knows, you know, because I noticed her yesterday. She knew when he did that, she came on.
Yeah.
Because she still finished okay yesterday, but not like she usually does.
I got to tell a story on Jamie. I'm very fond of Jamie, but I got to tell a story on me. I tease him all the time about being overweight because, you know, he was doing wintertime and he had on a bright orange sweatshirt. And he had a black vest on him. He came jogging down through here, and I said, "Jamie, you look like a big fat bumblebee." he was at a loss for words, which doesn't happen very often.
Yes, hey, I was waiting for what he said back to you.
Yeah. He's from Georgetown. You knew that.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, my goodness.
Didn't know.
Yeah, oh, I mean, a real Scott County boy.
Yeah.
You know, he went up to New York. What was the name of that agent he had? Where, Jackie, do you remember?
I forget.
Steve, he's right on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, good, one of the best agents around here. They went to New York one summer. And, Jamie was, you know, in the top 7 or 8 riders up there. And was going, you know, was riding up there, rode up there 2 or 3 months, you know, and then came home to Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
I ran into his agent later on. I said, what did you leave up there for? He says, look, we were knocking down $9,000-$10,000 a week. He says, that SOB got homesick for Georgetown and went home. but he was leading rider, I don't know how many times, you know, at Turfway. I mean, he was, he even rode a winner for me every now and then, and if he could win with one of mine, he was pretty good.
Oh, he's done a good job with
had
my
to overcome
hair.
The slows. He beat us one day up there. We were going in one of those 2-mile races, you know, up there, and doggone, we had a nice old horse up there that we used to run in those starters, you know. It was never worse, never off the board, never worse than third going a mile and a quarter or longer. And he beat us one day going 2 miles up there at by half a length, something like that. It was a 3-horse photo, as a matter of fact. And he led all the way with this damn thing. I thought he was going to carry it the last 16th. But I think he had the best of it. He could ride. Jimmy could ride. He was really good. You ever seen that CD I did?
No, sir. No.
You never seen one of those? We got one of those, Jackie.
What?
One of those old CDs that we did. It's got Jamie on the cover of it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. Where is it?
Well, I think there's one here. There's anything in there. I'll look.
All right. Might be one in the glove compartment. No, I don't think there is. Anyway. All right. Anything else, Doc?
I learned an interesting possum fact.
A possum fact. Okay, why they cross the road?
Oh, no. Another a good reason that possums should, that help us. I was reading an article, because I didn't know this. I was reading an article about Lyme disease in horses.
Possum helps us?
The possum a possum grooms itself like a cat, which I didn't know, even though most possums I see look pretty unkempt, at least in my barn. But
most of them look flat to me.
But they, this wildlife biologist talking about Lyme disease, having possums around helps to reduce the threat of Lyme disease because they go, they said about 1 year, about 5,000 ticks attached to possums, and when they groom themselves, they eat the tick. So that possums help to clean up ticks out of your pasture. So if you don't have chickens, you can get some possums, I guess. I thought that was kind of interesting this week.
Don't have chickens?
Well, my wife has some chickens, so that's
a fair point. Do they go after chickens?
The ticks?
No, the possum.
Oh, they will, right? The chickens have to come in, right? But to get rid of the ticks, I'm glad to have the chickens.
I don't want anything I have to put up at night.
So, so the chickens come in the barn, the possums come out at night. It works out, I guess. You get 24-hour tick coverage. But I thought that was interesting, so I'll leave you with that.
Yeah, well, that's just, I'll write that down. You know,
5,000 ticks a year. They figure.
Really, one possum.
That's why they figured over the course of a year, about 5,000 ticks will attach to a possum, and it eats those ticks.
Yeah,
when it grooms itself.
Well, very good. I learned something. I learn something from you every week, Doc.
I'll give you some more possum trivia.
Okay. All right.
All right. See you next week.
Let me get this going here. Well, firing line, here you go. Barry, I'm going to do a commercial on your horse here. Firing line ran one heck of a race in the Kentucky Derby. He's from the first crop of Line of David. Second by head to Dorfman and the grade one Los Alamitos Futurity. Second by head to Dorfman and the grade three Robert B. Lewis Stakes. Winner of the Grade 3 Sunland Derby by 14 and a quarter lengths. Firing line stalked pace setter Dortmund from the offset, headed him deep into the stretch, then fought gamely to be second to American Pharoah. And boy, that was some kind of a run. That was a dead game performance. Firing line has earned $974,800, and he's not the only high class runner from the first crop by Line of David. Cross the Line has won the $100,000 California Derby and finished second in the Grade 2 El Camino Real Derby. Dirt Monster at Stakes Place, Combat Diver at Stakes Place, Carolina Jasmine at Stakes Place, Wrong Side 29 at Stakes Place. That's 6 stakes horses, 2 stakes winners, including one of the nation's leading 3-year-olds in his first crop. By a grade 1 winner, Line of David, who stands for $3,500, due when the foal stands and nurses. And if you haven't booked a mare yet, well, you better darn well hurry up. At $3,500 live foal, call Des Dempsey or Brian Lyle or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030 and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. I want to talk about a couple of products that I believe in. That's Lubricin and Reborn. They are both developed by one of the nation's leading veterinarians, Dr. Steve Alday, and both of them are incidentally endorsed by many owners, trainers, and veterinarians, and both incidentally are all natural. You don't have to worry about going into the spit box. Lubricin, to put it simply, sustains the integrity of joint fluid, and it helps reduce the cost of, you know, acid injections and things like that. They make it also, incidentally, for people, which I use it. And I haven't had an acid injection lately, so I'm proof positive. Trainers that use it on a regular basis include Todd Pletcher, Tony Dutrow, or Jerry Hollendoffer, Mike Maker, just to mention a few of them. And as I say, I use it. Tastes real good, too. Lubricin. They make it just especially for people. Now, Reborn is 100% sterile, whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum. And we're always running short of colostrum, as you know that. Safe. It's easy to use as a supplement for horses of all ages. Starting with foals, what it does is strengthens the foal's immune system while it's nursing on the mare because of its high concentration of growth factors and antibodies. And actually, it supports immune functions in horses of all ages, and it provides a quicker recovery from physical challenges. Two great products, Lubricin. Lubricin.com or Reborn, Reborne.com, and you can buy them at KBC over in Lexington or Horse Sense down in Versailles. The human kind you can get at Old Friends. Well, Rosalind sold for $1 million last November at the Fasig Tipton sale on May 2 at Belmont. She won the Grade 2 $200,000 Sheepshead Bay Stakes. Rosalind is a 4-year-old filly by Broken Vow. And what an addition she'll be to her new owner's broodmare band. She's also won Keeneland's Grade 1 Ashland Stakes. She was an unlucky fast-closing third, just got beat a pair of noses for all the money in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Rosaline has put together earnings of over $757,000, and that's the type of runner you get when you go to Broken Vow. He's the number one ranked son of Sire of Sire's Unbridled Stud in North America, and he stands at Pin Oak Stud. Also at Pin Oak Stud are the stallions Alternation and Cowboy Cal. Alternation's a multiple graded stakes winner millionaire from the same female family as Broken Vow. His first foals arriving this year, and like their sire, they are superb individuals. Cowboy Cal is a proven stakes sire. He's a multiple graded stakes winner millionaire by Giant's Causeway, who sired two more stakes winners just last weekend. So give Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens a call at 859-873-1420 and check the website at pinoakstud.com. All righty. Well, I've got Larry Robinette here with me this morning from over Clear Sky Farms over on the Russell Cave Road.
Yes, sir.
I know exactly where that is.
Yeah.
It was Cap Hershey's old place.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, uh-huh. Cap died real young.
Yeah. I vaguely remember him.
He was like 50 years old when he passed away. You know, real young. He had a nice place over there.
Nice farm, yeah.
He was affiliated with Spendthrift Farm at one time.
Yes,
you know, I think he bought into that.
Right.
And he had a stud over there. I told you the name the other day.
Yeah, you said you bred to someone over
there. Yeah. He had several studs over there. What was the name of that stud? Waterbank.
That's it.
Yeah. I bred him. Yeah. He had been to Spendthrift and they moved him over there. And somewhere, I don't know that I got a season to him.
But right.
Been a good stud horse.
Yeah.
Useful. All the one I had didn't help him, that's for sure. But I wanted to talk to Barry because he raised Firing Line.
Yes, sir. He was raised on the farm there. We sold him as a weanling in November of that year, but came out of a field with some good horses. Lord Nelson was also in there with him. He was a paddock mate with him, and so we've had some very good luck this year.
Raising them over there. Yeah, I know you have because Macaulay's is one of my clients down there, and every time something wins at Windsor Stake or something by one of their clients, we plug it on the air.
Yeah.
So I've been plugging you all year.
Hell yeah.
You know? And I tell you, I'm dumb in a fence post here. I like Dorfman in there. And, you know, I forgot about Firing Line. And, you know, they met the first two times. It was just an odd difference between the two of them. Now, why I didn't figure him in there?
Well, we thought we had him beating Robert Lewis there, you know.
And
Dortmund just came back.
Game horse.
Yeah.
So, no disgrace beating him. But you ran by him on Derby Day.
Yeah, we got him that day anyways.
Yeah. Is he going into Preakness, do you know?
Yes.
Preakness, you going up?
I know. No, it's
breeding season. You can't go anywhere.
I can't go anywhere with the mare's foaling, so it's easier for me to get up and scream at the TV than it is to get to the track.
And the beer's cheaper.
Yes. Not a line.
Well, what kind of horse was he to raise?
Good. Yeah, he's a very, very good horse. Beautiful horse. Was always just a very classy horse. We sold him for a lot of money at that time, you know, for a line of David, and then he made money as a yearling and as a two-year-old.
Yeah.
So it kind of tells you he was just a really nice, improving horse. But very smart, just a very laid-back horse. So he was just always classy.
Yeah. You got anything out of the mare?
Sold the yearling, actually, which is a full brother.
You sold the yearling?
Back when Atlanta David was first.
Oh, okay.
Getting some publicity that actually the owners of Firing Line came back, was interested in him, so we let him go back then, so while the fire was hot. So.
Do you still have the mare?
Still have the mare, yeah.
Who are you breeding
She's to? She has a Super Saver filly by her side, and bred her back to Malibu Moon.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Well, man, you.
Yeah.
Malibu Moon, of course, Spencer Farm, and
right.
Super Saver. Super Saver just had a nice stakes winner, another one just the other day. You presented some live horses there.
Yeah, sure is. Nice Super Saver filly.
Yeah, okay. Who owns Clear Sky Farm now?
It was started by Eamon Cleary Sr. Back 5 years maybe or so ago, but unfortunately he died in 2012, I guess. 2013, in September, right after the our first consignment sale. And so the sons have taken over, Bernard Cleary and then Eamon Cleary Jr.
And, where are they from?
They're from Ireland.
Are they? Bunch of Irish, huh?
And so they, Eamon's there all day, and Bernard's there most of the time.
Live on the farm?
Live on the farm. And, so they've done a good job of carrying on the torch.
Yeah.
So.
How long have you been with them?
I've been with them going on 4 years now, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Okay. I got to get right back to you. Won't take a minute.
Sure.
I want to talk to you some more. Well, you can chalk up another graded stakes win for both Molly Morgan, a daughter of Ghost Zapper, and Macho Uno's crack son, Private Zone. Last Saturday at Churchill, Molly Morgan won the Grade 1 $300,000 La Troyenne and Private Zone, the Grade 2 $500,000 Churchill Down Stakes. La Troyenne was the fourth graded stakes win for Molly Morgan and a third at Churchill. She's earned over $882,000, and she's Ghost Zapper's eighth Grade 1 winner. Bred by Mike Loftner, Bill Cubbage, and Greg McDonald. She is one of six 2015 stakes winners, three of them graded stakes winners, but Gosapper, who currently ranks, I believe he's up to sixth now. I got him here seventh on the North American sire list. Either way, it's pretty darn good. Also, it's on Saturday, Judy the Beauty by Gosapper was second by neck in the Grade 1 Humana Distaff, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint, and of over $1,720,000. Judy the Beauty is from the same crop as Molly Morgan. Private Zone, bred and sold as a yearling at Keeneland by Dina Springs, has also twice won the coveted Grade 1 Vosburgh, plus the Grade 1 Cigar Mile, and he's earned over $1,888,000. He's one of four 2015 stakes winners by Macho Uno. This is our six Grade 1 winners, headed by the brilliant Mucho Macho Man, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, and his sire stablemate at Adina Springs. For more on the stallions there, call Cormac Breathnock or Jack Brothers at 859-987-1798 and see the website at AdinaStallions.com.
ESPN, Sports Radio 1300, WLXG Lexington, LM Communications Broadcasting Station, LM Communications, 2014 Lexington Small Business of the Year.
Majestic Perfection is the nation's number one second crop sire. He is a sire in his first crop, now three olds of eight stakes horses, headed by the brilliant Lovely Maria, winner of the classic Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and of Keeneland's Grade 1 Ashland Stakes. Lovely Maria overcame a rough trip to win the Oaks, drawing away by nearly three lengths to defeat a highly competitive field of 14 well-bred fillies. Congratulations to her breeders, Olin Gentry and Thomas Gaines, and to trainer Larry Jones. Lovely Maria is the headliner, but there's a whole lot more to Majestic Perfection's first crop record. He's the only second crop sire with three 2015 stakes winners, and he came within a head of siring his fourth when Moons Over Me ran second in the Ultra Fleet Stakes at Santa Anita, and Perfectly Majestic was third, and he just got beat two noses in the Desert Code Stakes, also at Santa Anita, both those races on Kentucky Oaks Day. Majestic Perfection, sire of a classic winner, three 2015 stakes winners, eight stakes horses in his first crop, stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brewer and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. And always keep in mind that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All right, well, we're starting the second. What do you... grinning over there about Matt Howard.
Well, because remember last week when we were talking about the Derby picks?
Yeah.
And what were my Derby picks last week?
Oh, yeah, Barry, he's going to brag now. That's what this is all about. Here we go. Go ahead. We'll shut up. Go ahead.
What were they? I said,
well, I don't know.
I said, we'll pull up the tape from last week. I said, I can't go for American Pharoah because he's the favorite. Then I said, Dortmund, Firing Line, and Frosted.
Well,
he needs to buy lunch, I guess, huh?
That doesn't sound like a cash to ticket to me, Barry.
Oh, I did. But then it goes to my kids' college fund.
Okay.
All that money, that's where it went.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm talking to, getting back to my guest here, Barry Robinette. And where are you from, Barry?
Originally from Eastern Kentucky, Pike County.
Told you.
My wife said that. You know, she says, I said, how do you really pronounce that name? And she says, Robinette's is on. She spent some time down there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
B.E. before Ursel in eastern Kentucky. So that's an eastern Kentucky name.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay. I rolled down the hill and got to
rolled down the hill. I come out of the, what do they call them?
Out of the holler.
Out of the holler. Yeah, there you go. Well, it wasn't many horses down there. How'd you get interested?
No, there wasn't. My great aunt had a little small farm, if you call it that, and up in the holler. And we had ponies and, you know, played around with this. But, you know, I guess Secretariat got me started on racing. And then a friend of mine brought me to Keeneland one weekend, and that was it. So,
oh, is that right?
Came back later and got a job at Claiborne Farm for a couple of years.
Oh, did you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And, working for Seth down there.
Yeah, huh? Yeah. Gus Cook hired me.
What a nice place to get started.
Oh, great. That's great. You could breed the blood horse and go out there and put your hands on the mare that had had the three-year-old or whatever it won that weekend, you know, for the stakes.
Good people.
Yeah. Yeah, great. Yeah. Great.
A lot of people stay there forever and ever, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Born and raised on that farm, yeah. You know, Claiborne.
Now, how's your neighbor for a while, Marvin Little? I worked for him for about 6 years.
So. Oh, yeah. He's a neighbor of mine.
Yeah.
We live over on Clay Kaiser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Marvin, were you there when you raised that Preakness winner?
Hansel, yeah.
Yeah.
I was there with him then, and of course, he's a great, great horseman. Marvin is. So.
Is Marvin still alive? I believe he is.
Yeah, he's still alive.
I know he sold
on
the
Lemons
farm.
Mill. Yeah,
sold his farm.
Yes,
that
yes,
farm.
Sir.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's on Brentsville.
Yeah.
And he's living over on Lemons Mill.
Lemons Mill.
Has he got a little place, mm-hmm. a little farm? Yeah, does he raise horses anymore?
Yeah, yeah. His son, him and his son and his brother.
Still, I knew his son. Son used to train.
Jeff. Uh huh. Yes.
Yeah. And back I met. His grandson.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Yeah, at the Thurbridge Farm Managers Club.
Yeah.
Over there. Yeah. Well, that's a small world.
Small world.
Yeah. Now you're on the Russell Cave. Hell, I was born and raised on the Russell Cave.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. Yeah, sure was. Not quite as far out as you, though.
Yeah.
But you were out there by Lowerdale.
Lowerdale, yeah.
Yeah.
Downtown Lowerdale, that's it.
Downtown Lowerdale.
Yeah.
They still got that little store there where you can see the grocery store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How long did you stay now at Claiborne, and then you moved on with
Marvin. Claiborne for about 2 years, and I was with Marvin for about 6 years. And then I think it's Crown Colony and Big Sink, and then I was at Glenwood Farm for 10 years for John Gunther.
Okay, now he's raising a lot of rice.
Yeah, he's raising.
Is that where you got on the Macaulay products?
Actually, before that, I was at Big Sink when I got on.
And they used them too?
Back then.
Oh.
Yeah, sure did.
Mr. Benjamin?
It was after Mr. Benjamin.
After Mr. Benjamin.
Yeah, Japanese owned it then.
Oh, yeah, they bought it from him, didn't they?
Right, yeah.
Mr. E.B. Benjamin, he'd have been before your time.
Yeah, he was a bit older. I think he may have been passed by then when I was.
Yeah, there. He had his son. Oh, I can't remember what his name was now. They owned a really good filly named Shukru.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which I think means sauerkraut from some language. I don't know. But she was a champion sprinter.
Right. Yeah.
Good filly.
Yeah.
Well, you've been around a while.
Yeah, about 30 years.
Been with good people.
83. Yes, been fortunate to be with some people that had some mm-hmm. good horses, been blessed with some good horses.
Now, where's Mr. Gunther's place?
It's on Rose Lane, out kind of behind Ashford and Diamond A, out in that area.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Towards the Woodford Reserve Distillery.
Yeah, now you're getting there.
Yeah. I think all that fumes.
Everybody knows where that is. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that'd be a good neighbor, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and then you moved on from there and over to where you are now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Clear Sky.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
And it's how big a farm is it where you are in Clear Sky?
We have 250 acres here on Russell Cave, and then there's another 175 over on Aiken Road in Midway.
A-K-I-N?
A-I-K-E-N. Aiken.
A-I-K-E-N. Yeah. Like South Carolina.
Yeah. Over close to Barrett and Jones's.
It's spelled wrong.
What?
Aiken.
Her lab maiden name was Aiken. That's what she's talking
about.
A-C-H-I-N-G. back to the couch.
Yeah. She's behind you.
Yeah, right.
We keep our yearlings here on Russell Cave. We have about 30 yearlings here on Russell Cave, and then the mares and foals is over.
Now, do you breed just to sell, or do you ever race anything?
Mostly, yes, mostly to sell. We've got bits and pieces of like four that for some reason we didn't get sold, so we kind of farm those out and
where do they go?
We have two over here at training center.
Who they with?
Tracy over at
Tracy Young
over to swimming
pool. Swimming pool. Yeah,
he's got one.
Saw Tracy this morning.
Francois Paracel has one up here at McCarran's.
It's a jockey school.
Oh, yeah. Chris McCarran's got him.
Francois.
Oh, Francois.
Mm-hmm. Francois.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then a couple down at High Point with Pat Huffman.
Okay, I don't know him.
Yeah, Blackie Huffman. You know, probably know Blackie from Churchill.
Yeah,
his son.
Yeah, I really don't.
Yeah,
been a while. I haven't been on the racetrack for how many years now?
80.
Shut up. Yeah, well, you got them with good people.
Yeah, like I said, we mostly just point to the sales with everything. We've sold, I guess, close to $10 million worth of yearlings in the last 3 years or so.
Wow. So what's been your top price yearling so far?
Sold a Tappet last year for 2.2 out of Just Whistle Dixie, who's had produced New Year's Day, which we bred.
Yeah.
Won the Breeders' Cup.
Just Whistle Dixie, that's a good name.
Yeah, she's a nice filly, stakes filly. And then the same year we sold another Tappet for 1.1 out of a mare called Foxy Dancer.
Uh-huh. Wow, you're breeding to some high-fluting horses.
Yeah.
You breeding to him this year?
Yes, we bred to him this year, yeah. So,
man,
hard to beat him in it. It's getting a little steep now, but.
Literally. I guess he's, you know, whatever the demand is, you know, for him, but, you know, getting up there with the storm cats.
Yeah.
You know, he was that's the highest stud fee, I think, of Stormcat. And now he's right with him, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he's right there, yeah.
Yeah. What's he's topping the sire list again. Is it 2 years in a row he's led it now?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Prior to that, Giants Causeway led it. And he's topped it 3 times.
Yep.
Yes. Now tap it twice.
Yeah.
So everybody's kind of running for second.
Yeah, it's a great, great sire. He's just grass, dirt, fillies, colts.
Yeah.
Makes it easier to sell, when you got a sire like that. So.
Horse really outbred himself, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was a nice racehorse, but,
yeah.
I mean, he was, everything, just outbred himself. He's had a whole lot of runners better than himself.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, they sure sell. Well, that's good. What else you got? Who else you breeding to?
We got a nice Medaglia d'Oro fillies.
That's good.
I think the boys are kind of eyeballing that they'd like to keep.
Race,
so maybe that might be their Oaks horse down the road.
Yeah. Better give it to Larry Jones.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the combination, isn't it?
Yeah. Of course, he's got Brary going for him. You know, Brary's raised those three.
Yeah.
Larry Jones.
Oh, yeah. So, he's right behind us, so hopefully some of that luck will come our way.
There you go. Yeah, that's really good. Who else are you reading to? Got to sell? That's more important.
We got we got a nice Kitten's Joy on the farm there. We got the Medaglia d'Oro. We got a nice Midnight Loot filly, we kind of cut back on our stud fees this year, so their sire power is not as strong. But got some nice fillies. I didn't think it was going to be that nice a crop, but they really came on.
Mm-hmm.
Spring's done them
well.
You're
talking about your foals now?
The yearlings.
The yearlings. Oh, the yearlings.
Yeah. Yeah, foals are doing real well. Yeah, got some nice foals.
Yeah. How many mares you carry there?
Got 40.
You take boarders?
But no, it's closed. We just are on.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Boy, it must be nice to fool with quality like that, huh? Wow.
Yeah, enjoy it. It makes your job a lot easier.
I bet it does.
Yeah.
And the Irish are easy to work for.
Yeah, I always.
Of course, you couldn't say one way or the other, could you?
I don't know if they're listening or not.
I tell you what, I'm a big fan of the Irish. They move the bar up on horsemanship, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when they came around, you know.
Yeah.
Got several Irish trainers out here. What are you talking, McKay?
Oh, yeah.
You got something. No, that's right. You're just up there in the same barn with Jeff.
Yeah.
Well, he's a good horseman, too, if you ever need one.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how many Irish trainers we got here. 4 or 5.
Yeah, Jeff, Jimmy.
Jimmy Cargan. Yeah. Tom Bergen.
Bergen.
Little steeplechase rider over here.
And then Mustang. Redhead.
Oh, yeah.
Over there. I can't think of his name.
Corrigan?
No. He's over at the big barn. He's got the green trailer.
I can't remember. But I don't know.
He used to do the little fighting.
Oh, amateur fighting. McAtee.
Paul McAtee.
He didn't have red hair. What are you talking about red hair?
He's got red hair.
Oh, he doesn't have red hair.
I'll bet
Mackie,
you
have red hair.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. You better have your eyes tested.
You can't argue with these two. You lose every time. It's like arguing with your wife.
That's because you're wrong all the time. That's why. I don't know, Barry. This just goes on here. It's endless.
Yeah. Well, I enjoy your show. Listen to it for years.
So you have six. You have six listeners.
Well, yeah, right. I'm double my. Yeah. I didn't know I had that many. We don't take ourselves too seriously. We just kind of have a little fun.
Yeah.
Get people like you on, talk to them, get to know them. I'm glad you could come by, too.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Yeah, all the talent must have been out of town if you asked me to come by.
who must have been?
I said all the talent must have been out of town if you asked me to come by.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
That's fine.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, you raise a horse like that for crying. Well, are you going to breed anything back to him, you know?
We're full sharing on our season this year with him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think next year we'll probably bring back to him.
Yeah. I don't know if he's going to be 3,500 next year.
That's right. Well, luckily we got in on that share the upside.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, so they did that.
They've done a really good job of promoting those horses over there, you know, and the first crops for those things, running.
Right.
So I'd breed over there in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go, my friend.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thanks, Barry. I appreciate you stopping by tonight.
Sure thing.
See everybody over there in Lauderdale.
Yeah, I'll tell everybody in Lauderdale you said hello.
All right.
Hello, Lauderdale.
I remember in that store over there, the Pagets used to own that. I don't know. But I think they sold it before. You all moved down there, though.
Right.
How many could you say that were sitting there?
250.
250?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 250. We border Carrick and Russell Cave.
Yeah. Well, you were real close to where Dortmund was raised then.
Oh, yeah, just down the road. That's right.
Yeah. Amelia Fulgeon's place. Bonaterra.
Bonaterra.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, she may not be speaking to you now.
There's actually been, I think, within a mile, there's been about 5 Breeders' Cup winners since came off farms there. So,
Wow.
Yeah, around that one little area. So.
Well, you're right up the road from the Winchell, as far as that goes.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And maybe, what do you want?
What's the name of that doctor that had that farm right over there?
Impressia. He just had a little place down there.
Oh, yeah.
He was an MD.
On the right from when you leave the.
I don't believe he had many acres down there, Tony. You turn left on Carrick, and he was down there on the right.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then Coleman Calloway used to live down there.
Yeah, I think they're still there.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
He's a builder.
Yep. Now they're right across the road there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He built a lot of these new barns around here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. He's still there.
Yeah, it's. I know the area pretty well. I was born. crossing the cave on Russell
Kelly. In a cave.
In a cave, he says. been in that cave. A lot of times when I was.
Well, they fixed it up since then.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Filled it up. And tore down the dam. There used to be a dam there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I don't know why they tore that down, but they did. Yeah. But anyway, you used to go back in there and play when I was a kid. I was born and raised on Dixiana.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which
is, oh, yeah. Of course, your dad was manager for years. Huh?
He was there for, went there in 1929. He was there until he died in 64.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great place to grow up.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. Fun place. All right. I'll let you go, my friend. All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Barry. Come back and see us.
Nice meeting you. Bye-bye.
All Algorithms is by the topside Bernardini, and he's one of three graded stakes winners produced by Ava Knows the Code, a hard-hitting graded stakes runner himself. It's a family of tough, hard-hitting stakes winners. Algorithms won all three of his career starts. Broke his maiden first time out, 5 1/4 lengths at Belmont Park. Servant noticed that he was something special. Won his second start as a 2-year-old, also in impressive fashion. That was a Gulfstream. In his first start at 3, in the grade 2, $500,000 Holy Bull Stakes at Gulfstream, he handed Hansen, the champion 2-year-old the previous year, his first defeat, beat him by 5 eye-opening lengths. At that time, Algorithms was considered a major threat for the upcoming classics, but a training accident ended his career. His obvious class, his pedigree, and his confirmation commanded an opportunity at stud, and the quality of his first foals, yearlings this year, justify the decision. Algorithm stands for $5,000 doing a full stance of nurses at Claiborne. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, 859-233-4252, and see the website at claibornefarm.com. I want to talk about my good friends Hill and Reagan Parker, who have been in the real estate business for over a dozen years now. They're nice people. Great people to do business with. People that you can trust. And when you're buying or selling real estate, that would be my number one demand, is you find somebody that you can have some confidence in, people that can trust, you can trust. And not only that, they're real horse people themselves, and they're helping real horse people. If you're looking for a farm that's got an outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices for sale, and they can help you find that perfect farm manager just for you. And I tell you what, they've got them all over their the county now in Fayette, Bourbon, Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, Clark County. Outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices. And I'm going to give you their website. It's lexhorsefarms.com, lexhorsefarms.com. They've got farms, like I said, all over. And one right up here on the Paris Pike. And another one down on the Russell K. Road in Paris. They got one in Winchester and Versailles and Georgetown. And you name it, and they've got it. And it's absolutely great people to do business with. And as I said, you can they'll find that perfect farm just for you, size-wise and price-wise. And if you're listing farm, you can ask for nicer people to do business with. That's Hill and Reagan Parker. Let me give you that website again. It's lexhorsefarms.com. And here's their Lexington number, 859-608-8039. Give them a call. You'll be glad you did. Well, Tisday Ja Vu is siring runners. 63% of his first crop starters are found in the winner's circle, with others knocking on the door. For you folks breeding to races, I'd advise you to take a good hard look at Tis Deja Vu, his fleet filly, Tis Gorgeous. Tis Gorgeous, if I can say it. Won stakes at Hawthorne and placed in another as a 2-year-old last year. Miss Deja Vu has found the winner's circle 5 times already. All 5 wins at Gulfstream Park. Most recent was on April 29, and a $50,000 optional claimer. She didn't run for the tag, and she won by 4.5 lengths. All that more is three for 5 now at Golden Gate. She won yesterday another race. And her previous race prior to that was a $40,000 starter. So she's got some class. Now, L.A.G. Magic broke her maiden at Santa Anita. De J. La Etoile One at the fairgrounds, two sensational at Oaklawn Park, and that's just a sample. It's also interesting to note that while Tuesday's Javu excelled on the grass, the majority of his winners have won on dirt. A brilliant miler, Tiz Deja Vu, by Hall of Famer Tiz Now, stands for $5,000 due in the full stands and nurses. Your 2014 Keenan Sales Yearlings Medium was right at 6.5 times that stud fee, and he stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Go see him. Take a look at him and the other stallions out at Crestwood. Number over there is 859-252-3770, and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All right, Jackie, you want to let me rest while you do some...
Yes, please. I'd love to.
All right. I'd love for you to.
Okay. Let's see. Split Rock Stables is a really upscale jumping hunter-jumper facility out on Bryan Station Road, 4845 Bryan Station Road, and they are having a big... jumping show, Lexington International CSI, with a 3 after it. This is May 22nd to May 24th. They have all sorts of shops and stuff set up, artwork and stuff, of course, all horse-related. They're going to have a beer garden with Bluegrass Region's breweries and live music. So... it's really going to be a very nice thing. It's called the Split Rock Jumping Tour. Hats Off Day happens every summer, July 25th this year. It's called Hats Off to Kentucky's Horse Industry Day with a lot of stuff going on. And the first, I don't know how many people, get free hats. Some of them are donated by the farm, so you could get a farm hat and all that kind of stuff. Lots of stuff going on. They are looking for partners right now, so if you want to contact them, just call Rude and Riddle. They are a big sponsor, and they'll let you in on what's going on. It's going to be really, it's wonderful every year. They have a huge crowd, and it's they have things, features to teach you about the horse business and teach kids about horses and all that kind of stuff. Okay, Keeneland is moving their wagering to the Red Mile. It says it's including its wagering to include the Red Mile. But starting July 15th, the Red Mile is going to have wagering, thoroughbred, standardbred, and quarter horse racing at one location. That's the Red Mile. Now, they'll have simulcasting during the race meets and maybe some during the thoroughbred auction and for the Oaks and the Derby. But the rest of the time, it's going to be at the Red Mile. This weekend, today and tomorrow, is the last 2 days of Kentucky Spring Horse Show at the Horse Park. It's a 5-day hunter-jumper show in the first part of two. And this year, it gets local riders, international riders, and even foreign riders and former Olympians. So, that's the first one. And then, the second one starts May 13th through May 17th. And it's at the same place, of course, at Horse Park. Now, this is wonderful. High Hope Steeplechase is coming up. Sunday, May 17th, that is, of course, the day after the Preakness. They have it every year. They're going to have terrier races, pony relays, parade of the Woodford Hounds. For this year, for the first time, pony clubbers are going to have two short sprint pony races. So much fun. We've done this a lot of places, and it's such a hit. So mark your calendar. It's 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. That's High Hope Steeplechase on the Steeplechase course at the Horse Park. Then, May Day's horse trials start Friday, May 22nd through Sunday, May 24th at the Hunter Jumper Complex. They have about 500 horses and riders from about 20 states for this 3-day event. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That means Friday is dressage, Saturday is cross country, and Sunday is stadium. Let's see, Friday, May 22nd, 24th, Kentucky Dressage, annual spring warm-up and annual dressage show. That's at the Dressage Complex. Boy, you go out there that weekend and everything's going on, including Kentucky Invitational High School Rodeo. That's in the covered arena. Boy, they're slamming them in then, aren't they? I mean that. And Saturday, the 23rd, is Memorial Day celebration for campers over at the campground. That's more things. So, stuff, a lot of stuff going on. We're out here at the Thoroughbred Training Center. They now supply fence materials, posts, and planks. Now, they started out with 9,000 fence posts and 4,000 oak and poplar fence planks in stock. I don't know how much is left because it's, you look around and see.
They get more.
Yeah, but I mean, it's really, people are out fixing fences in this nice weather. It's good weather for it. So, for an order or information, contact Jim Pendergast at 293-1853. Here's another nice thing. Mirworth Farm has been preserved as a horse sanctuary. That thing is 1,200 acres. And they're going to make it for unwanted equines and retired racehorses. Some of the most notable Mirworth breds include Hall of Famers Battleship and Discovery. Oh, great, great, great place.
Can I interrupt your second and catch up here?
Yes.
Well, May 4th, the Cora, the Tutrut Stakes, was won by Tom Belaine, a 3-year-old colt by First Defense. Just 8 days earlier, Iris Jasper, a 3-year-old filly by First Defense, won the Bell Harbor Stakes at Aqueduct. And that same day, Dun Dunnell by First Defense won the Group 2 Sprint Cup Stakes in Hong Kong. Tom Belaine placed in two group stakes last year as a 2-year-old, and he and Iris Jasper are among the five black type runners from last year's crop of 2-year-olds. Dun Dunnell, a group stakes winner in England, is the second millionaire by First Defense, following Eclipse Award winner Close Hatches. She earned over $2,707,000. Bred and owned by Judmont Farm, Tom Belaine is out of Kythera, a stakes winner both here and abroad, and group place. Kythera has a yearling full brother to Tom Belaine at Judmont Farm, and she's pretty typical of the quality mares covered by First Defense with the emergence of such top-class runners as Close Hatches and Dun Dunnell. The continued success of First Defense is virtually assured. He stands for $10,000 live full at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. 859-272-7629 and see the website at judmont.com. Well, the 1-2-3 finishers in the Kentucky Derby, American Pharoah, Firing Line, and Dortmund, in their most important formative years on the farm, received the benefits of products from McCauley Brothers, the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. American Pharoah, as a weanling, he arrived on the farm and was weaned right there, and into his yearling year, as it was at Vinery. Now, Firing Line was bred and raised by Clear Sky Farm over on the Russell Cave Road. Dortmund was bred by Amelia Foyon and raised at Bonaterra Farm. And besides those, the winner of the Grade 1 La Terrain Stakes, Molly Morgan, was raised at Belvedere Farm for breeders Bill Laufer, Bill Cubbage, and Greg McDonald. Private Zone, winner of the Grade 2 Churchill Down Stakes, was bred and raised at Adena Springs. The Grade 2 Churchill Down Distaff Turf Mile winner, Teppin, was bred and raised at Mockmer Hall. The winner of Belmont's License Fee Stakes, Zindero, was bred by Grapestock. That's a division of Vinery. And the Hasta La Vista Handicap of Turf Paradise was won by As Ridge, bred by Glencrest Farm. Congratulations to all from the folks at McCauley's. To learn more about the McCauley products, call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 859-873-3333. See the website, McCauleyBros.com, or you're welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Forsales. McCauley Brothers, that's where it's all about the horse. Well, a Sunday edition of the Daily Racing Form is on the newsstands as we speak, as, of course, is the Saturday edition. You can get that also But in the Sunday edition, you will find an article by a column by Jay Hoveday, who, in my estimation, one of the best writers in racing today. Jim Dunleavy is writing about Preakness doings. Nicole Russo is writing about Ahmed Zayat's past record at and frustrations at the Kentucky Derby. Well, his frustrations were cured this year, of course. John Smarkman has an article on the Kentucky Oaks winner, Lovely Marie, and also on American Pharoah, some pedigree notes about those two. And, of course, you get past performances from Churchill Downs in Belmont and Bell Terror and Arlington Park, Woodbine, Monmouth Park, Lone Star, Gulfstream Park, or even from a couple of quarter horse past performances from Sam Houston, Remington, if you give a hoot about that. But but here's the thing that you really need to do is visit drf.com/breedingupdate and sign up today for your connection to Daily Racing Form Breeding. Throughout the week, you'll find in-depth breeding news and sales and auction coverage and a whole lot more in that in the breeding update from Daily Racing Form. Once again, it's drf.com/breedingupdate, and climb aboard. You'll be glad to you did once you've done it. So that's the Daily Racing Form, of course, racing's Bible.
I wanted to say one more thing about the High Hope, which is coming up, because this pony races is called the Bluegrass Farm Pony Challenge. Just before the official steeplechase races begin, designed to showcase and celebrate the young equestrians. So they're going to have local farms are going to sponsor a child rider, and that means they have silks for the kids. There's their ages are from 8 to 13, and a United States Pony Club member pony, 14 to or under. They're going to have one flat and one jumping, and it's going to run at a trot. You see some stubborn little pony in there not wanting to trot, but anyway, it's going to be fun. It's all for good fun. The 16th and 17th of this month, is that next week? Yes, it is. Sheffel Ridge Farm, my buddy, Nori Sheffel, out in Bourbon County, is having one of her shows. A lot of fun, good prizes, and good food to eat and all that good stuff. So if you want more information from Nori, 509-0404. It's called Sheffel Ridge Farm. May 23rd, 24th, 25th is a Kentucky Hunter Jumper Show at Lakeside Arena in Frankfort. And May 29th, 30th, and 31st is the District 3 4-H Horse Show. Okay, moving right along. We don't have to know. Oh, Keeneland Library Lecture Series. The last one is coming up April 29th.
April 29th.
No, I'm sorry. June the 2nd, how's that? Or hey. April 29th, 2016. No. June the 2nd, Milt Toby is going to talk about his book, Noor, A Champion Thoroughbred's Unlikely Journey from California to Kentucky. So that's excellent. So that'll be the last of the series. It's free, open to the public. And like I said, it's at the
Keeneland Library.
And that's about all I've got for right now.
Well, it's starting to get a little late in the breeding season. If you have a late foal and mare that you'd like to breed to a really first-class runner, why don't you consider Albertus Maximus? He stands free to approve mares. And when we say first-class racehorse, we mean just that. Albertus Maximus won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, went the distance and won 33-2. He won the Grade 1 Don Handicap, going a mile and an eighth of Gulfstream Park, beating the likes of Einstein and Arson Squad. Set a new track record, going a mile in the Windy Sands Handicap at Del Mar. He won two top allowance races at Hollywood Park. He won another at Santa Anita. He also broke his maiden at Santa Anita. And he placed in the Grade 1 Goodwood, the Grade 2 Swaps Breeders' Cup Stakes, and the Grade 3 Affirm. He earned over $1,328,000. Now, that's a first-class runner. Also consider that his first crop yearling sold for up to $90,000 last year, that he is one of six grade one winners by his sire, that he comes from a great female family, and you have the complete package. So why don't you call stallion manager Kent Barnes over at Shadwell Farm? Kent's number is 859-224-4585. Go take a look at Albertus Maximus. You're going to like what you see. He stands, as I said, at Shadwell Farm, and the website is shadwellfarm.com.
Want unlimited access to pedigree reports on more than 2 million foals for a low annual cost? Then BirthNet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at birthnet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile, the APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit birthnet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why new generation is using APR Online.
Well, last Saturday, Churchill Downs, a grade three Pat Day Mile, was won by Competitive Edge. It's a 3-year-old colt chasing the first crop of Super Saver, bred by Windstar Farm and sold as a 2-year-old for $750,000. Competitive Edge is undefeated in 4 starts. After breaking his first time out at Saratoga, his maiden came back to take the grade one hopeful stakes. Then he won the 2015 his 2015 debut by taking Gulfstream's Tamarack Stakes. His margin of victories in his 4 starts so far have been 10 1/4 lengths, 5 1/4 lengths, 8 1/4 lengths, and 4 1/2 lengths. Pretty much alone, isn't he? Super Saver is the sire of 9 stakes horses in his first crop, 4 stakes winners. His fleet colt, I Spin It, won the Grade 2 Saratoga Special and was second to Competitive Edge in the hopeful. Super Saver won the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes at 2, the Grade 1 Kentucky Derby at 3, and earned over $1,889,000. One of 2 Kentucky Derby winners by his sire, Maria's Mon, and one of 2 graded stakes winners out of the AP Indy Mare Supercharger, Super Saver is by any measure one of the most successful young sires in North America, both at the races and at the sales. For more on the stallions at Windstar Farm, call Darren Fox, Kyle Wilson, or Sean Tugel, 859-873-1717, and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty. Well, let's look at the breeders of Kentucky breds, stakes winners from last week. And, of course, the grade one Kentucky Derby winner, American Pharoah, by Pioneer of the Nile, was bred by Zayat Stables, Pioneer of the Nile, at Windstar Farm. The Kentucky Oaks winner, Lovely Maria, is by Majestic Perfection, who stands, of course, at Airdrie Stud. He was bred by Olin Gentry and Thomas Gaines, right over here on the Iron Works Pike. The grade one La Truane Stakes, Molly Morgan, is by Ghost Zapper, bred by Mike Loafer, Bill Cubbage, and Greg McDonald, Ghost Zapper, Hall of Famer, at Adena Springs, Kentucky. The Grade 1 Woodford Reserve Turf Classic winner, Finnegan's Wake, is by Powers Court, and he was bred by Jerry Crawford. The Grade 2 Alishiba Stakes winner was Protonico. He was by Giants Causeway, and he was bred by International Equine Holding. Grade 2 American Turf Stakes, also at Churchill, went to let me look at this. Divisadero, whatever. He's by Kitten's Joy, bred by Hinkle Farms. Hinkle Farms over in Bourbon County. Hope they didn't name him. The Grade 2 Churchill Downs Distaff Turf Mile winner, Teppin, by Bernstein, bred by Mock Mahal, another Bourbon County outfit. The Grade 2 Sheepshead Bay Stakes, Rosalind, a Broken Vow, of course, at Pin Oak Stud, and he was bred by Hurstland Farm. That's Alfred Knuckles, James H. Green Jr., and Pin Oak Stud. The Grade 3 Pat Day Stakes winner, Competitive Edge, is by Super Saver. It's a Kentucky Derby winner standing at Windstar Farm, and he was bred. The Competitive Edge was bred by Windstar Farm. The Grade 3 Edgewood Stakes winner, Feathered by Indian Charlie, bred by Teresa Viola Racing Stables. The Grade 3 Westchester Tunnelist won that by Tappet, stands over at Gaines Way, Woods Lane Farm, the breeder. The Grade 3 Fort Marcy Big Blue Kitten, Another Kitten's Joy. This one bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. The license fee stakes at Belmont. Winner Zendaya by More Than Ready. He stands at Windstar Farm also. Bred by Grape Stock. That's a division of Vinery. The Gold Fever stakes at Belmont. LDL, I guess if you would want to pronounce it. He's by Munnings. Bred by Martha Buckner. Marty bred. Good job, Marty, over here at Clarkland Farm. Munnings, of course, is at Ashford Stud. The Sunrise Stakes of Gulfstream Celebrity Star won that by DeHeer, bred by Christina Latimer. I think that's Dr. Latimer. Honey Rider Stakes. Red Sachet won that by Big Brown, who's now in New York. Andrew Cohen and Gary Tolchin, the breeders. The Parks Oaks at Parks, where else, went to Danzer Treese, bred, he's by Dunkirk, bred by Glenn Justice. The Parks Derby winner, Bluegrass Singer by Bluegrass Cat, bred by Gaines Gentry Thoroughbreds, and Hardy Thoroughbreds, Turf Paradise's As Ridge winner. It was Hasta La Vista Handicap. The winner was As Ridge. He's won two stakes in a row that I know of. Both at Turf Paradise. He was bred by Glencrest Farm. And then on Friday, and we had a big argument about nobody knew what the heck we were talking about or how to pronounce this, so I'm going to say Prix de Guiche. Group 3 race in France went to War Dispatch by Warfront, bred by Joseph Allen, and owned by Mr. Allen, too, which means he was foaled over at Claiborne Farm. So congratulations to all. Well, Fire and Line ran one heck of a race in the Derby. He's from the First Crop by Line of David, and second by a head to Dortmund in the Grade 1 Los Alamesos Futurity, second by a head to Dortmund in the Grade 3 Robert B. Lewis Stakes. Winner of the Grade 3 Sunland Derby by 14 1/4 lengths, Fire and Line stalked pace setter Dortmund from the offset, headed him deep in the stretch, then fought gamely to be second to American Pharoah in the Kentucky Derby. Firing Line has earned $974,800, and he is not the only high-class runner from the First Crop by Line of David. Of course, the line has won the $100,000 California Derby and finished second in the Grade 2 El Camino Real Derby. Dirt Monster stakes place. Combat Diver stakes place. Carolina Jasmine stakes place. Wrong Side and 29 stakes place. That's 6 stakes horses, 2 stakes winners, including one of the nation's leading 3-year-olds, all from the First Crop by Grade 1 winner Line of David, who stands for $3,500 due on the full stands and nurses. Now, I talked to them just a few days ago over there, and they said they could take one or two more mares to that horse, and if you haven't booked one yet, well, I darn well hurry up if I were you. Call Des Dempsey, Brian Lyle, or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030 and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com. Get Steve. All right, we're going to have Steve Moody on here in just a second. Okay, we're going to call him back. How are you going to work this?
Mary Jane
probably sells 5%. Oh, okay. All right, call her down there. Meanwhile, I'll give you the names of the trainers or the saddle winners from the training center here. So far this month, there have been 14 of them. That's pretty good, 14 winners in the first 8 days. Paul McAtee, Adel winner, Stanley Inman, Eduardo Caramori, Jim Rankin, Steve Casey, Eduardo Caramori again, Tom Bergen, Eduardo Caramori, Chuck Peary, Mike Estes, Juan Rubalcaba, Eduardo Caramori, Dane Kubiski, and Matt Frazier went up to Indiana Downs yesterday and saddled a winner, a quarter horse winner. He trains quarter horses right here at the train. 4 of those winners all came yesterday, as a matter of fact. Belterra, 2 at Belterra, 1 at Churchill. That was Dane Kubiski, an ex-race rider who trains out here now. He's got a bunch of things down here from Maryland. So anyway, we're gonna play a Sally Van service right now. And while we're doing that, we're going to get in touch with my good buddy Steve Moody, and he's going to give us the winner of the Unbridled Sydney Stakes down at Churchill Downs today. So coming to you, young lady.
Sally Van Sir. There are experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
All righty, I've got Steve Moody with me now. Steve's the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, which you can, it's published by Bloodstock Research Information Services, and you can go to brisnet.com, BRISNET.com, and pick up a copy of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. And Steve's going to give us the winner of the Unbridled Sydney Stakes down at Churchill today. Morning, Steve.
Morning, Russell. Had 10 horses drawn, 10 fillies and mares drawn for this race. A couple of scratches this morning. The 8, Shrinking Violet, the 9, Knit 1 Per 2 is out. So it leaves a field of 8 going 5 furlongs on the grass. Turf is firm at Churchill. I went for the 6 horse, Ursula. Priya's a bird. She disappointed last time out. She was favored at Keeneland in the Giants Causeway. Didn't get the job done there. She came back out of that race and has worked well. Had a bullet move a week ago today. And I'm looking for her to bounce back with a good effort. The 7, Katie's Eyes, she comes off of a upset win. In that Giants Causeway, where she beat Free as a Bird. She's undefeated this year, and she looks like she's going to go right to the front again, but there is some other speed in the race. The 3, Fioretti, the bottom horse, Gallop Out Town. So I think there might be enough of it in here to maybe soften her up a little bit and give Free as a Bird a chance to turn the tables. My third choice was Shrinking Violet, who was scratched. So we'll throw in the 2-horse Richie's Party Girl. Kind of been off again, on again pattern, and hopefully today is she's due to be on again. And we're going to go 6-7-2 in the Unbridled Sydney.
All right, Steve. Thank you very much. Well, what'd you think of the Derby?
Well, kind of chalky. We've had three favorites in a row now with Orb and California Chrome and now American Pharoah. I don't know when the last time that's happened in the Derby, but I'm guessing it's been a while. And kind of an oddly run race. You had when the horses turned up the backside, the horses that were running 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4 of those 5 finished in the top 5. Only one horse, Carpe Diem, faded out of it. And then the only horse to close any ground was Frosted, who came from, I think, third to last and got up for 4th. So the horses at the front pretty much stayed there, kind of maybe changed places a little bit, but they all stayed there the whole way. And looks like last the list I saw, there was only maybe 2 or 3 out of the Derby that at least had been confirmed to go to Baltimore. Now, there may be some more added this week, but right now, looks like most of the ones going to the Preakness are going to be ones that didn't come from the Derby.
Hmm. Well, it's a wide-open Preakness, I think.
I think so too. I think that obviously the favorite will be Pharaoh will be a very short price in Baltimore, a little bit shorter distance, and I don't think it'll that should have it wouldn't he wouldn't figure to have any,
no.
any there and there. The limit is 14, so you don't have the potential traffic problems that, of course, he got 18 in the Derby and it didn't matter. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. Well, it's you know, it makes it fun. Have one wide open like that. All right, Steve. Listen, I appreciate it, my friend.
All right, Urkel.
And we'll talk to you next week. It's been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. And go to brisnet.com, BRISNET.com, and pick up your copy of the Kentucky Handicapper. Thanks so much, Steve.
All right, Urkel.
All right, I've got a favor to PS somebody out there, some kind soul. I need some help. My eldest daughter passed away earlier this week. And her legacy to me were her two cats that she was very fond of. And I'm looking for a home for them. They both had all their shots. They've both been neutered. They're indoor cats. And I live on a farm. I've got four barn cats who won't, I don't think, will tolerate these two too much outside and scared of P. Willie out of them anyway. And I've got a dog that likes to chase cats that lives inside. So I've got to segregate those some way, but I need to find a home for these two cats. And listen, we'll send them with a bag of feed. We'll send them with a kitty litter box. We'll send them with kitty litter. We'll send them with a pooper scooper. We'll send and we'll send them with my blessings. If you could just, they're really nice. They were raised inside. We flew them up from Arizona, which where my daughter was from. And anyway, if you could know someone who could adopt a couple of really nice cats, yeah, no problem whatsoever. They're used to each other. We want them to stay together because they've been together for a number of years, and they get along very well. So if you could just give me a call, and my phone number is 987-9094-987-9094. And you can find them also. My number, if you miss it, it's in the Thoroughbred Farm Manager's book. So anyway, that's if you could do that, somebody would find them a home. I would really, really appreciate it because I'm really not equipped to take care of them. Okay. All right. I got a minute here, a couple of minutes, not very many, but we were talking about Bo Gay earlier in the year and then early in the show, and we were running a stakes up in New York today called the Bo Gay. Bo Gay was a champion two-year-old filly in 1945 by Stimulus. She was owned by Main Chance Farm and Arthur Hancock Sr. bred her. They bought her out of the sale, of course. And she was by Stimulus out of a mare named Risk by Sir Galahad, and Risk was a tremendous producer. She was, in addition to Bo Gay, she was the dam of Skylarking and won the Hopeful in a Bashford Manor. I believe he died as a two-year-old. He was a Blue Larkspur. Danger Point, another Stimulus, won the Metropolitan Handicap. Little Risk was also out of that mare. And Little Risk won the Correction of Stakes, a couple other races. And she was the dam of Cyclotron, the son of Pensive. That was a high-class racehorse. Won mostly out in California, and won the Klang Handicap up in Chicago. He was went to stud at Derby Dan. I don't think he ever sired much, to tell you the truth, but that's where he went to stud anyway many moons ago. Little Risk was also the dam of Risk of Whirl, who was a nice stakes winner. And let's see, All Hands was from that family. He was a turn two that went to stud. Never won stakes, but he was placing a whole passel of them. Venture was from that family. But Bo Gay, as I said, was a champion two-year-old filly in 1945. And she had won like her first, well, one, two, three, four, five, six starts. As a two-year-old, she broke her maiden in Jamaica, then won the Fashion, the Polydrum, and the Arlington Lassie, the Princess Pat and the Matron, and then hit the fence and went down in the Belmont's Futurity Stakes. But she was a champion two-year-old filly that year. She was never produced anything. She was a very disappointment at stud. I think she just produced one live foal. Well, that music means it's time for me to leave. I appreciate you all listening, and we will talk to you next week at the same time. And thank you, Mary Jane down at the radio station. Thank you, Ressie here, and we'll talk to you next week.
ESPN Sports Radio 13.